Changes in whistleblower protection laws have caused an uptick in cases making it to the Office of Special Counsel. Carol Lerner heads that office. She recently testified at a Senate subcommittee hearing about the OSC's achievements in strengthening government oversight and whistleblower protection. She says in the last 5 years, the agency's workload has risen 50%.
In just the last 5 years, our caseload has increased by 50%. Our growth has been across all of our divisions, which include a variety of things, not just whistleblower issues, but for our Division of Prohibited Personnel Practices, which includes the prohibition against whistleblower retaliation and enforces the Whistleblower Protection Act. We've seen a growth of about 30% in the last 5 years. And the first quarter after the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act was passed was our highest quarter ever for the number of retaliation claims that were filed. So the caseload in that area has really gone through the roof since the passage of the Act.
And so what can you do to deal with that load, given that you have a fixed workforce?
Well, our staff is working harder than ever and is more efficient in its processing of cases. So while it's been a real challenge, I'm very, very proud of the work of our staff. We've done a couple of things. We've devoted more of our agency's resources to the unit that handles retaliation cases. We're also training employees to be able to do all kinds of work. Our agency handles 4 different statutes, so we're trying to make sure that instead of specializing in just one, people can move around within the agency as needed to handle this increase in caseload. We've also brought on a lot more presidential management fellows and law school interns to help with our caseload, and we're putting more cases into alternative dispute resolution or mediation, and that gets quicker and often much better results for the complainants and the agencies alike, and that helps lighten the load for the investigative work.
Can you give us a sense of the scope of the content with which these claims and how long it actually takes to go through any average claim?
It really depends, because there is, first of all, no average claim, right? Everything is different, but sometimes things are closed very quickly. If we don't have jurisdiction over a matter, we don't actually do an investigation, if it doesn't meet kind of a threshold determination.
And what don't you have jurisdiction over?
Well, if someone is a former federal employee, we don't do an investigation. If it's from an agency where we don't have jurisdiction, those are the most common. We don't have jurisdiction over certain agencies or for military employees. We only cover civilian employees. I should also mention in our disclosure unit, which takes complaints about waste, fraud, and abuse or health or safety issues in the federal government, we don't have independent investigative authority there. We perform kind of more of an oversight role. So we do a determination about whether the disclosure meets a very high standard of review, substantial likelihood determination, and then we send it to the relevant agency for an actual investigation. And then we review that investigation and send a report to the President and Congress. So that's the one area where we don't actually have jurisdiction to do an investigation. And the 3 other areas, retaliation for whistleblowing and prohibited personnel practices, USERRA and Hatch Act, we can do an investigation.
So looking at what you have processed so far as this caseload has risen as a result of that law change, are most of the cases, how can you characterize them? Are most of the cases good cases, or are some people just raising the whistleblowing statute because they think they have a better chance, but they don't really have quality cases?
Well, the first thing I'll say is most of the time when people come to us, something really has happened to them. It's pretty rare that, you know, someone would come and just make something up or nothing had happened. People really do believe, for the most part, that they have a real problem. And certainly in the disclosure area, people come when they think that there's something happening that shouldn't be happening. And it takes a fair amount of courage to come forward and make a complaint. Because the instances of retaliation are so high, when someone comes to our agency, you know, we respect the fact that they are coming out of a true belief that something has happened. But in terms of the number of cases that we actually either refer for investigation or, you know, to an agency in the disclosure area or actually do an investigation ourselves, it's under 10%.
And you said that you had a record number of cases just in that first quarter after the law passed. Was there sort of pent-up demand, and did you see older cases of retaliation because the law had just been passed and people thought that maybe they had a better chance to seek justice from the retribution then?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know that I know the answer to that about whether we were getting older cases at that point. We don't have a statute of limitations for retaliation cases, and so folks can come to us at any point. But I hadn't heard, and I'm not familiar with the dates of the filings enough to know whether we were just, you know, getting a lot of older complaints. My guess is that it wasn't so much that they were older, but more people being aware that they could come to us. There was a lot of news around the passage of the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, and the types of cases that we could take increased after the passage of the act. And so I think the main increase in numbers probably had more to do with our increased jurisdiction.
We're speaking with Carolyn Lerner. She's head of the Office of Special Counsel. And so what are you going to do long-term to deal with this? I mean, if this level of caseload keeps coming in and it doesn't look like any agency is going to get a lot more people anytime soon, how do you make sure that the way you're doing it is sustainable so you don't get into one of these big backlog situations?
Well, we're really, really hopeful that Congress will allocate more resources to our agency. It doesn't take a whole lot for us to have more of an impact. For fiscal year 14, the president's budget would increase our total appropriation by about $1.7 or $1.8 million, and that would really go a long way to helping us bring on increased staff. And the appropriations committees in Congress have both approved that amount. So we're really keeping our fingers crossed that in the next budget or the next continuing resolution, we will get a little bit more money that will help us tremendously. In the meantime, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing. We're going to get as many cases into mediation as possible because, as I mentioned, that does help us get people quicker and sometimes better results and lightens the load on our investigative resources. We're going to try to keep doing outreach and education to prevent problems from happening in the first place. That's really the goal, is to decrease our workload by making sure that people understand what the law is and so there are fewer violations. And we're going to keep using our presidential management fellows and law school interns to help lighten the load. I'm really, really proud of our staff and the tremendous effort that they've put in, and we'll just continue working hard.
It must be good news that some of the Hatch Act rules and regulations were lifted a little bit so that only the really egregious cases are likely to come to OSC now. Do you anticipate that helping as we get toward another election season not too many months away?
I think it will help. What the Hatch Act Modernization Act did is say that folks could run for office in state and localities unless their salaries are paid for 100% with federal funds. And prior to the act being passed, there was a prohibition on folks running for office if their positions were funded at all from federal money. So, for example, deputy sheriffs couldn't run for sheriff, or, you know, an ambulance driver couldn't run for county coroner because he or she transported Medicaid patients, or a transit officer who was in the canine unit couldn't run for school board because his dog was funded with federal funds. So a lot of our cases in the Hatch Act unit were those types of state and local matters where we had to analyze whether someone's position was paid for with federal funds. And the passage of the Hatch Act Modernization Act will mean that we don't have to spend a lot of time and resources on those cases. We still have jurisdiction for state and local cases for certain types of Hatch Act cases. So we'll have to just kind of see how the next election cycle goes, but my hope is that that will result in lower numbers of filings in that area.
And when you talk about the money-saving techniques, but the prevention techniques of education, also of mediation on the back end, in which cases are these the most helpful? I mean, for example, is it USERRA or is it the whistleblower retaliation cases?
Well, I think it's helpful all around. We're doing actually not a record number of outreach and education sessions. I really try to emphasize that. I don't know that it helps more in one area or the other, But we do a lot in all of our areas. Certainly in an election season, we do a ton in the Hatch Act area. I think a lot of federal employees aren't always clear about what their obligations are under the Act, and so we want to make sure they understand the law and know how to stay clear of a violation. So you'll see more of that as the election season comes up again. We have created a pamphlet called Know Your Rights When Reporting Wrongs, and we hope to get that pamphlet out to every federal employee, and that helps explain the process for coming to us if there's a problem. We have a YouTube channel. We've got posters that we've created on all of our areas on Hatch Act and retaliation and disclosures and USERRA. And we are going to be going live hopefully with a new website soon that will have a lot of resources on it as well. So we're really trying to emphasize this area. And I thank you actually for your interest in our agency, because programs like this help us get the word out as well.
Well, and on that note, just briefly, because we're running out of time, you've made several high-profile recommendations to the president this year. Can you single out maybe one that you think will be the most significant in terms of a long-term impact?
Well, a few weeks ago, we sent a report to the president and to Congress about improper overtime at the Department of Homeland Security, where millions, if not tens of millions of dollars, have been used improperly for a certain type of overtime. And I'm very, very hopeful that real reform will happen at the Department of Homeland Security. We're going to be staying in touch with Congress as we watch for this reform. I testified in the House of Representatives about this, and we'll be doing so again in December in the Senate. And we're really very optimistic that the report that came out of that disclosure will lead to real change.